Robert Martin Glansman. I'm going to read out a bunch of names and then we'll go again. Sam Parker. If you all come forward, please. Stephanie Button. Sam Parker, Stephanie Button, Sarah Lloyd, Larry Calley, David Keyes or Keeves, Bob Barnes, Rosa A. Lee, Kevin Thompson, Gregory Lewis, Jason Morbid, Gordon Coovey, Robert Martin Glansman.
My name is Robert Martin Glansman. Folks around here just call me Kiwi Bob. I've been doing a little bit of thinking about tonight, and I've decided that this is a fraud that's being perpetrated on the American public, and that, Mr. Martin, you're behind this fraud. 5 days' notice of a public hearing. I'm going to ask you to do the right thing. You're the engineer of this train wreck in the making. You have the ability to apply the brakes. You have the ability to do the right thing, which is apply the brakes. You also have the ability to do the right thing and resign as head of the Federal Communications Commission. Take your choice. I want to focus the rest of my testimony tonight on the fact that for nearly 32 years now, I've been an avid listener of KBCS FM, Bellevue, Seattle, Community Radio, 91.3 FM, also on the internet at kbcs.fm. That is diversity in media. But you've heard all of this tonight. You've heard the testimony of the majority of the will of the American people. The question is, will you abide by that? So I would like to uninterrupted put forth yet another point of view. I've thought seriously about.
Thank you. Sam Parker. Stephanie, Sam?
Yeah, that's me. Hi. Before I begin, Commissioner, my name is Sam Parker. I'm 21 years old, and I, Mr. Martin, am ashamed enough for the both of us, because anyone who schedules this hearing 5 days in advance and then dismisses the voices of the people that he has sworn to serve and protect obviously has no shame to spare. Sirs, commissioners, I walk down the street and I see that I have no place and no voice in the media that we have today. This is true for any minority opinion and group living in the U.S. In the television screens and radio broadcasts of our nation, we see and hear not ourselves, but caricatures of ourselves, the people that corporate media and the other conglomerates want us to be. I have no interest in being that person, sirs. We have no interest in being these people. And yet here we are having a hearing, not a debate, because it's pretty apparent where public opinion falls on this subject, but a hearing on whether to give these corporations more influence over what we see and hear. And worse, these regulations will come at the cost of community media and low-power FM stations who allow myself and my peers here direct access to the media in order to shape our communities for the better. Commissioners, if you strike down the cross-ownership media ban, you will only prove what myself and the American public have been suspecting for a while, that the FCC is no longer the arbiter of justice for the broadcast media, but rather the auctioneer who has sold our voices to the highest bidder. And I swear to you that this is not empty rhetoric, commissioners. This is what I and many others believe. And I beg and plead the commissioners of the FCC to prove me wrong.
Thank you. Stephanie Button.
Hello. Greetings, my name is Stephanie Button. I'm 20 years old, I'm from the Tri-Cities, and as a citizen of this nation, a student, a voter, and as a member of the generation poised to take over our society, I strongly oppose the consolidation of media ownership. I live in a country that proudly proclaims freedom of the press and the protection and exchange of our free ideas. But under a consolidated media, I'll only hear one voice telling me what it thinks I should hear. I want to choose my media. I don't want my attention to be held hostage by the highest bidder. That's not my interest. That's not their interest. I deserve to be exposed to a greater variety of diverse opinions and points of view. I crave local voices and an independent media. I'm a member of the public. I'm a woman. I have a voice. And I refuse to let my voice be silenced. Our democracy is being poisoned. And one of those poisons is a toxin called conglomeration of media. Commissioners, I urge you, please, foster individuality, creativity, innovation. Oppose the consolidation of media ownership. Video didn't kill the radio star. Corporate media did. I've heard so many wonderful voices tonight from women, from minorities. I wish I could hear them in mainstream media. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah Lloyd.
Hi, my name is Sarah Lloyd, and I'm 21. My aspiration is to work in the media because I love creative voices and connection to community. But consolidation of the media crushes creativity and lies to the public by pretending that this country can be blanketed into one community that doesn't mind automated and personal media outlets. As in any people, America, Washington, Seattle all have an incredible array of different opinions, especially different ways and reasons that we prioritize what matters to us. All of these viewpoints can't even be given justice on a strictly local level, much less by a handful of corporations that tend to represent a very specific class, race, and culture. This is entirely alienating to those less represented, meaning the FCC is not doing their job of serving the public. My generation is already frustrated with the media to the point that the words radio and especially media have a vastly negative connotation. Consolidation will do nothing but increase this by giving more power to the corporations who constantly insult us by what they target toward us. Consolidation will further alienation, not just of youth, but of the majority of our country, and discourage the fairness. These regulation laws are very much still necessary, given the already inadequate current media landscape. I don't want to be fed media. I want to choose my media. I want to make my media, and I'm sure I'm not alone. I want the public to be able to address the commission without the majority of you leaving the room, and I want the commission to do its job and acknowledge that consolidation is not in the public interest. Thank you.
Thank you. Larry Calley. Larry Calley. David Keyes.
Evening, commissioners. Thanks for sticking with us. Appreciate it, and thanks for coming west. I'm the Director of Community Technology Programs for the City of Seattle, but I'm here as a private citizen, and I would just point you to comments filed in this ownership proceedings by City Council members Gene Godden and Nick Licata for another city statement on that. I'm a big subscriber of newspapers, cable, and a big consumer of radio and internet as well, so come to you as a consumer and a couch potato, as well as somebody that works in the field. And I just wanted to say that I feel strongly that newspaper and broadcast ownership should not be consolidated. We did a survey of Seattle residents, and in that scientific survey, we found that more than three quarters thinks it's important to have the capacity to produce local content and local programs. And 40% of broadcast TV watchers were not satisfied with local community coverage. Are these tolerable thresholds? Well, I think we can do better, and I think you guys can help make that better. The First Amendment, as I know it, was founded on that principle of free expression and encouraging diversity of expression as the way to get to the truth. And I think in doing that, the media consolidation threatens that First Amendment and threatens the foundation of our democratic process and stands in the way of our future with safe, healthy, and productive families, with citizens that participate in government, and with safe communities. The diversity is critical to having media ownership and media in our community that understands local needs. An example of that in my own family, in my own community, is that our neighborhood chamber of commerce really struggles to get its message out. It has a hard time getting adequate coverage in the media here, and consolidation is only going to make that worse. And their success is critical to keeping gunshots down in my neighborhood, and it's critical to my daughter getting to school safely.
But finally, thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to say...
I appreciate your comments. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Bob Barnes. Rosalie.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm 65, just as a citizen. But as I was watching the proceedings tonight, I was thinking that this should probably have been a three-day hearing. And speakers, you want to hear from us that maybe we should have had 5 minutes to speak and give substance. And I wonder, as you go back to your hotels this evening, if you're going to turn on the news or tomorrow morning, and how much of this hearing is going to be reported. Where will be the substance? Where will be the truth? Will it be a one-liner, a two-minute blip? It seems to me that America is in a identity crisis right now between being a true democracy and being a corporate dominion. And it's not that we don't need big business, but there's something way out of balance between the micro and the macro. And this country was founded on a rich assortment of ideas and creativity. And when we have this sterile, homogenous media on every night, every day, it diminishes us and it undermines our very culture, and the media is the power of that. It's the distribution of information.
Thank you.
Keep in mind separation of church,
thank
state, and corporation.
Kevin Thompson. Kevin Thompson. Gregory Lewis. Sorry, Kevin?
On behalf of Kevin Thompson, who I'm guessing left because he's in a wheelchair, I'm guessing he would probably tell you that he had a TV program called Club Diversity, which was a gay-oriented program. I helped him on that show. And that kind of show, which was on public access, is not seen on mainstream at all. You don't have any kind of programming that is found on the public access channel, the People's Channel, on mainstream. That's why they're... voices that are the disenfranchised of this community are on that channel, because you won't find them on mainstream. I have a show on that channel as well, and it shows a lot of cultural events that I don't see covered anywhere. I've covered cultural events here at Town Hall. I never see them on mainstream TV. That's a shame. And by consolidating, you're screwing us all over.
Gregory Lewis. Jason Morbid. Jason Morbid. I'll tell you just a second. Gordon Couvey. Couvey. Before you begin, Gordon, I'm going to call a few more people just to get them up here. Margaret Schwartzman. If any of these people could please come forward. Margaret Schwartzman. Don Franks. Damon DeCicillo, hope you understood that, Damon. Rick Rosenberry, Dennis Lane, Jared Winkle, Madeline Sossen, Susan Gleason, Livia Jackson, Adam Todd, Nathaniel James, Mike Stewart. Go ahead, Mr. Couvey.
Okay, my name is Gordon Couvey. I'm an executive producer of Music Inner City Television Show. It's the only hip-hop and R&B music video show on Comcast On Demand all over Western Washington and we're also on Scan TV 77 and 29. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I want you guys to take notes on this. I'm here to talk about why I refuse media conglomeration. Because, for instance, KGR Radio, I've been highly outspoken against KGR. In 18 years, and you're talking about lack of diversity, it's a clear channel station. 18 years, they've never had an African-American on the air when it's a sports channel, when football, basketball, and baseball is dominated by the African-Americans and people of color. They've never had an African-American on the air. I want you guys to do something about this. It's just so serious that someone from the SEC, a former lawyer who's no longer there from the SEC, I mean from Clear Channel, came up and met with us, Carl Mack, who used to be the NAACP chairman here. And since then, they have banned me from calling in. They've called and other things. I'm known as a black racist by KGR. I want the FCC. Now, you're talking about diversity. Media in this town is terrible. A perfect example is KGR Radio. Now, it's like the old boy network was in radio up here in Seattle, where a white person helped another white person get jobs. It's a problem here. It's a problem at Cairo. It's a problem at KVI and all these radio stations here. Thank God for KRIZ and KYIZ, the only African-American-owned radio station in the whole area. So you can hear Al Sharpton, where you can hear other minority voices instead of the strictly white voices like on KGR, which, by the way, has a contest every year was instead of 64 basketball teams,
thank
there's
you
64
much.
Women
thank
are broken
you.
Down in brackets. Now, you talk about
thank
sexist
much,
and racist, it's a problem.
Thank
Do
you.
Something about it.
Margaret Schwartzman.
Thank you for coming, and I know that the evening is long for all of us, and I can appreciate probably time zones for you or added on. I didn't prepare anything, and I started to think how I wanted to share my experience as a child in America, traveling across the country in the summers, and listening to all the radio stations and how they changed from community to community, from Ohio to Wyoming, and what perspective that gave me as an American citizen about what diversity and what being American means, and that the community I lived in was very different from the ones that I heard in my journeys. But hearing the voices tonight have really affected me. And so, and I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, gosh, you look like you're my neighbors, my friends, you know, people live next door to me, but then I think of the impact of what your role has on democracy, and I think, do you really care about democracy? Why is it that there's this push for this December decision to, allow corporations to have more ownership of media, which is the foundation of democracy? Maybe you don't care about democracy. Maybe you have an agenda to put a greater stranglehold on the press. So either you're going to be rewarded after you leave the commission financially, or, well, could it be that you are wanting to have a stronger voice for the drumbeats to war with Iran? I mean, this is the way my mind, and I'm just a common citizen. I'm a preschool teacher. I mean, but this is where my mind is thinking. And I need reassurance that this is not what's really going on.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know. You can't answer me, but that's the question.
Don Franks, Damon DeSislo.
Good evening. Thanks for staying late. My name is Damon DiCicco, and I'm a graduate student and teaching assistant at the University of Washington Department of Communication. I'm here today to speak against the proposed FCC rules change that would allow for greater consolidation in the ownership of broadcast media. The research of numerous scholars in my field strongly suggests that increasing the concentration of media ownership results in a decrease in the range of views and programs found in our media. Anecdotal evidence of this trend can be found locally at our own King 5 Television, where a variety of beloved, long-running, locally produced programs gradually disappeared within the first 2 years after King 5 was purchased by Belo, replaced with the same homogenous programming found at other stations around the country. People in cities across America have had similar experiences. Aside from making our local media landscape less unique and interesting, this narrowing of the media field can only be harmful to the marketplace of ideas upon which any healthy democracy must be founded. The necessity of this marketplace of ideas was the basis for the inclusion of the First Amendment in the United States Constitution. This is undoubtedly why there's been broad bipartisan opposition to rules changes such as these each and every time they've been proposed. The airwaves are a publicly owned resource, and I urge you to listen to the will of the American people as you administer their resource. Thank you.
Thank you. Number 182, Rick Rosenberry. Dennis Lane. Jared Winkle.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jay Rubble. That's J to the R-E-B-L. I'm a Seattle MC producer and proud member of the 206 chapter of the Universal Zulu Nation. For me, this issue is simple. I think it's safe to say that everybody here loves America and wants our country to be a better place. We love our ideas, freedoms, and our democracy. And anybody with an elementary understanding of the word democracy can see that this media consolidation is a threat to democracy. Anybody who organizes it, supports it, and votes for it is a threat to democracy. We're supposed to be in this great war on terror, but the closest thing I've ever seen to a terrorist boogeyman here in America are those people who support media consolidation. They clearly serve the corporations and not the people. Clear Channel is a shining example of media consolidation, and they have effectively killed the radio. They have a very narrow playlist for the different genres across the country, and if somebody competes with that genre, they buy the station and switch the format. Clear Channel station Cube 93 does not represent in any shape or form the local hip-hop scene, and in fact have hindered the treasure trove of positive artists, local artists, that have hurt they've actually hurt the development of the Seattle hip-hop scene. I mean, today's media, they try to make you feel small and powerless and insignificant. But screw the guns, bombs, and money. This microphone and this right here, this is real power. And I appreciate everyone who came down here to speak up and stand for all those millions of Americans who can't be here and didn't have this opportunity. And I thank you.
Thank you. Madeline Sawson. Sir, I'm calling Madeline at this moment.
I'm Dennis Lane.
I'm sorry?
I'm Dennis Lane. You called me.
Oh, okay. Please.
Okay, thank you. Community access to public broadcasting and first do no harm are words that need to be inscribed over the door of the FCC. My name is Dennis Lane, and I've been involved in media broadcasting for over 35 years. And I've been in the development of community broadcasting for over 25 years. Presently, I share a unique position of working for community development on both the East and West Coast. About a month ago, I facilitated a meeting up in Harlem with the FCC attended, and we talked about digital television. And we are pulling together a series of talks about broadband, about the FCC, about media development, because it's important that the people in Harlem, and not only in Harlem, but people in general, know more about what's going on right now. This is not just the present and talking about some profits down the road for the next 5 years or the next 3 years for corporations. This is about the future of this country. This is about minorities. This is about the inner city. It's about the rural communities. It's all about them having access to communications. And not communications of today, though we need television and radio, but we need the access to public broadcasting of the future. And if that's not there, then there's no future for the kids, for the youth. And you talk about having voiceless people. When people have no voice, they act out. When a person is not being heard, they get louder. If that loudness doesn't work, they get angry. That anger doesn't work, they get violent. Now, you want to see the voiceless Taliban in this country? You keep on doing it.
Madeline Sawson. Okay, Madeline Sawson, please.
What a lot of beautiful intelligence there is in this room tonight. I'm so proud to be here with you all. I didn't know what I was going to say because I just found out about this today. I'm not very happy about that, but I am glad to be here. I think that our democracy is in a crisis, a very deep, dangerous crisis. I think that media consolidation is an enemy of democracy. Media and consolidation is not a friend of diversity or democracy, which needs many, many viewpoints and real information. I can't remember the last time I was able to turn on my television set or radio station and actually hear real information. And I'm really angry about that. I want that to change. The FCC plays a hugely important role in safeguarding public right. This is our media. It's our media. This is our democracy. Democracy is what you make it. But we have to be free to practice it. We cannot practice it without real information. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. And I will say the same for culture. We can't practice our culture if we can't practice it, if we can't express to each other our ideas, our views, our art forms. We are not heard. And that is the state of media today. To make more media consolidation is madness, actually. I think it is quite mad, when clearly what we need is so much less. I don't think that we could ask, I don't think we're asking enough of you, frankly. I think we need to ask a lot more of you. The one thing that comforts me is that through all of history, starting with single cells, evolution has happened because of crisis. Crisis causes evolution.
Thank you very much. Susan Gleason.
Thank you, commissioners, for traveling to Seattle to hear our testimony today for all these many hours. I hope the message is coming across that people in the Northwest care deeply about media diversity. We care enough to travel from throughout the Northwest to be here. From Woodburn, Oregon, from Moscow, Idaho, from Missoula, Montana, from Spokane, Washington, adjusting schedules to be able to attend this hearing on only 1 week's notice. Even with the short notice, over 1,100 people attended this event tonight, standing room only, with dozens of people waiting in an overflow area. How many more people would have been here tonight if there had been adequate notice? If given enough notice to take time off work, arrange for babysitters, and purchase train and airline tickets. What kind of public process is that? Giving 1 week's notice for a hearing that bears such importance on the future of our media, and truly the future of our democracy. I think it's a cynical process. I think it gives a clear message that you don't expect or really want the public to participate in these decisions. I had the pleasure of hearing the author Joanna Macy last night in San Francisco. I liked what she had to say about the role that we have now, all of us who are alive on the planet today, as guardians for the well-being of future generations. Well, I think all of us here tonight are guardians for the type of society that future generations will live in. And more pointedly, we're here tonight as guardians for the type of media, exchange of information, and sharing of culture and ideas that future generations will inherit. I offer my gratitude to everyone who's spoken with such passion tonight on behalf of more media diversity, not less. I add my voice to yours. Please vote no on the media ownership rule changes.
Thank you. Livia Jackson. Adam Todd.
I'm number 189. Good evening. My name is Adam Todd. I work at the Seattle Times. Although I'm not a journalist, I work in the IT department, and I am here tonight as a private citizen. But realizing that I'm number 189, and I believe 280 people signed up to speak, just by a show of hands, how many people object to the proposed changes the FCC has regarding media ownership? Thank you. And in fairness to those who are in favor, you can now raise your hands. Okay, we have one. And okay, anyways, I'll keep my remarks brief. Further consolidation of the media is not in the public interest. It threatens our democracy, limits free speech, discourages public policy literacy, as well as civic engagement. I object to the FCC relaxing rules to stimulate further media consolidation. The tyranny of the minority must end now. The FCC should not grant the largest media corporations in the world a sustainable and unfair competitive advantage over locally owned media. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I call the next speaker, would the following people come down? Bill Newman, Michael Shergott, Dick Schwartz, Eileen Duffy, Stuart Wexler, Lyle Kortzel, Eric Tremblay, Randy Rowland, Sienna Sperling, and Tim Hesterberg. Nathaniel James?
Actually, I think you must have called me. I was Don Frank.
I'm sorry?
I'm Don Frank.
I did call you. Go ahead.
I'm 19 years old, and when I heard that you were proposing to consolidate media further, it gave me a cold, nervous feeling inside. I couldn't stave away the imaginations of a George Orwell type of society. It reminds me of 1984, the idea that media is going to become more and more funneled. Is there a separation between our political system and corporations in this country anymore? Because I strongly object to media consolidation. Why don't you? What reasons do you have? I mean, are you under their pay? What benefits are you or do you think we are going to get from such a merger? As I sit in the seats here and listen to everybody speak, my heart beats harder, and I just wish we had more control over what happened in our country. I feel like there's three things, really, that our nation sort of rests upon. It's our media gives us our information, our political system, and the industry. And when these all come together, it's not going to be a tripod anymore. It's going to be one big pillar. And I can already feel things seem wobbly in our nation. And I don't want them to get wobblier. I don't want us to fall over. So please, I would like it more. I would like it if you had less media consolidation than we do today. I'd like more diversity. So thank you.
Thank you. Nathaniel James, Mike Stewart, Bill Newman, Michael Shergott, Dick Schwartz,
Before I make my comments, watching you, Chairman Martin, tonight with that impassive expression on your face for hours and hours, I want to take care of a little business before I make my comments. It's real clear to me that there's a fundamental theme behind almost everything that's been said tonight, and that's that there's a room full of people here who love democracy and are terrified that we're losing it. And I would like to ask you, out of respect for all of us who have come here and under unusual circumstances, to give us a wink or a nod or a thumbs up that you understand that we're not about the arcane rules of the FCC. What we're here for is we are frightened for our democracy. Do you understand that that's what we're saying? Can you? Do you understand that that's what this room is trying to tell you?
Yes.
Thank you. In the past 3 weeks, the president of Pakistan, the president of Georgia, and the president of Myanmar have closed down the press in their countries. And the common thread is they did that because they wanted to reduce the number of voices available to the people in their country in order to undercut democracy. They've achieved this under, normally they achieve this, these despots, by ahead of time putting into place rules that make it possible to legally do this when the time comes that they want to do it. And what I would propose to you is that in real life, it's the result that matters, not the means. When you put into place rules that make it legal for a few strong economic entities to control the variety of voices that are available to us, it's no different than when a political strongman puts into place rules that cut down the number of voices. It's the same thing. The result is an undercutting of diverse voices and an undercutting of democracy.
Thank you.
Eileen Duffy. Eileen Duffy. Stuart Wexler.
Commissioner Copps, Commissioner Edelman, thank you for putting the interests of your fellow man over the interests of the greediest people in the world. What is greed? Greed is not only wanting more money than you need, but the willingness to harm your fellow man or the environment to get more than you need. Commissioner McDowell, Commissioner Copps, Commissioner McDowell, Commissioner Martin, I expect you know that you are appointed to serve the interests of the greediest people in the world. I would like to appeal to your humanity. I imagine you have children and want them to live in a healthy world. Our world is as sick as it can be. I expect you know what has become of the media. What has become of the media consolidation we already have? When the Bush administration followed the advice of Adolf Hitler's propaganda agent Goebbels and repeated his frightening lies over and over about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, links to Al-Qaeda, and to the boogeyman Osama bin Laden, who happened to be from the same bin Laden family that funded George W. Bush's failed oil company. The establishment media repeated those lies of the Bush administration as if they were true. Thanks to corporate media repeating Bush lies enough Americans and legislators bought the lies to allow Cheney and Bush to take us into a war no better than Hitler's war. Up to 1 million civilians are estimated to have been killed and died.
Thank you very much.
Lyle Kortzel.
You want this world for your kids.
You can
say no.
Thank you very much.
You called my name before. My name's Eileen.
I'm sorry?
You called my name before. My name's Eileen.
Oh, Eileen.
Okay. Hello, I'm currently a student at the University of Washington working to get my Bachelor of Science. I first started out at the university majoring in mathematics, and as I looked around the room, I found that I was usually one of the only women in the room. And from what I've witnessed through my many personal experiences with women in my life and through mass media, it has been common to portray women as sex objects. I can think of way more girls now who aspire to have these glamorized looks emulating the women portrayed on nearly every television station rather than embracing their individuality and aspiring to become scientists or something empowering. Young men and women are watching things like the gory cookie-cutting shows like The Swan on Fox TV or shows like The Man Show that show women who have boob jobs look like porn stars and they don't even act like they don't have brains and are put here on Earth to please men. At a young age, I was diagnosed with alopecia areata, as you can see, I have no hair in my body. And I know from personal experience that when I was aired on King 5 and Como News, they lied about personal information on purpose to make the story more exciting. And in the newspaper, they put blackout marker on one of my teeth to make me look cuter and say that I just lost my tooth. And I also have a young woman friend who just got a nose job at 18 years old to look like some airbrushed molded bimbo from television. And these people owning these corporations are mostly white males who have a profit agenda. I want an agenda focusing on individuality, diversity, and equality between men and women. I'm against media consolidation. Thank you.
Thank you. Lyle Kortzel. Eric Tremblay.
Hello, my name is Eric Tremblay. I would like to thank you for holding this hearing and letting it run so late. And I've been up since 3:45 this morning. I just want to talk a little bit about the most outrageous instance of corporate censorship that I can think of, and that's the corporate media's non-coverage of the Telecom Act during its passage through Congress. It was covered maybe one time on the evening television news, and this made it virtually invisible for the public, and the public had no knowledge of this from corporate media and no input, virtually. It's something that passed in the dark, and it shows from what has followed from it. I'm going to keep my remarks very short. Thank you.
Thank you. Randy Rowland. Sienna Sperling. Tim Hesterberg. I'm going to read another list of names in a moment, starting with number 201, Sherry Herndon. Anne Lev or Lay, Michael Hobbs, Lee Colleton, David Holland, Jessica Klein, Jessica Bukowski Stubb, Bob Hasegawa, I think he's spoken, Joseph April, Kristen Virgilio Emery, Sandra Schulman, Sue Peters, Larry Nielsen, Barbara Ives, Sherry Herndon.
Good evening. My name is Sherry Herndon. I'm a citizen of the United States of America and Cascadia. And I believe that this meeting is a historic one, actually, it reminds us of two things. The power of the citizenry to voice their will as a sovereign people, and the power of a free press to act in service of that will. And I want to take a 50,000-foot level perspective, an eagle's eye view, and invite us back to the founding of this country. In 1788, the people of Virginia ratified the Constitution of this country. It would serve us well to remember their words. No power of this new federal government, be it executive, judicial, or legislative, is meant to be superior to our human conscience and a free press. So in other words, the governance of this country is based on the powers of a free press and human conscience. These are enlightened words, and they guided this country into its greatness. But we have forgotten this greatness, and we have not lived into the destiny of this country. And our corporate-controlled media systems have played a foul role in this. There is a profound urgency upon us that we all have voiced tonight, and it requires us to access a deep wisdom to collectively face what we must face as a species on this planet at this time. So we need a media by and for the people to do this. What we need now more than ever is a media that is diverse, locally owned, and one that supports a renewed inspiration around citizenship and a process of governance that is looking for the stewarding of this country, not its demise. We seek a plurality of expression, not a monopoly. We seek a media that is capable of capturing the hope and the possibilities of our future and not leaving us mired in what Vandana Shiva calls the monoculture of the mind. The media must return to its roots as a vehicle of democracy, not a diminisher of democracy. The Virginians also pointed to the searcher of hearts that guided them. And I would ask you, the FCC...
Thank you. Oh. Thank you very much. And Lev?
I'm Jessica Bukowski. You called my name previously. Thank you. I'm proud to stand before you as an appointed commissioner on the Citizens Telecommunications and Technology Advisory Board, which is a board that advises Seattle City officials on community telecommunications and technology issues. I would like to briefly read to you from a letter that we have drafted to you, Chairman Martin. Thank you. In a precedent-setting media ownership case in 1945, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black wrote, "The First Amendment rests on the assumption that the widest possible dissemination of information from diverse and antagonistic sources is essential to the welfare of the public, that a free press is a condition of a free society. We now live in a time where this principle appears to be increasingly fungible for the right price. Currently, a handful of major media companies control most radio publishing and television resources. If federal media policy is changed to allow national media corporations an even greater consolidation of media ownership, the public welfare will necessarily suffer. Unlikely business partners create an ethical slippery slope when it comes to the information content of news media. A specific incidence of this phenomena occurred in 1998 at the Fox affiliate in Tampa, Florida. The station fired two award-winning reporters, Jane Acker and Steve Wilson, and suppressed a story they had produced about one of the Fox Network's largest advertisers, Monsanto, concerning the negative health effects of its genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. Fox suppressed the story after Monsanto threatened a lawsuit. In a story reported by Jeanette Batts in the St. Louis Riverfront Times, David Boylan, WTVT, Fox's Tampa, Florida affiliate station manager, was quoted as saying, "We, the Fox Network, paid $3 billion for these television stations. We decide what the news is." This is an ominous look at things to come if the FCC rewrites its media ownership policies to allow major networks to potentially own all media resources in a given town or city. If the local affiliate network will not run a story because it negatively portrays a major advertiser, public health in that town or city will be.
Thank you. And Lev, or Lee, Michael Hobbs.
Hi. You hear from the corporations that what's important here is economics, but what's important here is power. First, there's the direct ability of a single corporation to shape the political landscape through their editorial voice. Issues today are very complex, and the science of opinion manipulation is also very advanced. Average Joe may say, "Well, I heard Proposition 12 was a bad idea on channels 4 and 9 on KBIG radio and in the newspaper, so I guess it's a bad idea." And that conclusion might be reasonable unless Mr. Joe knew that all of those media outlets were owned and controlled by the same corporation. This manipulation can be done overtly with shock jocks ridiculing Prop 12, subtly with newscasters simply giving short shrift to the opposing viewpoint, and even intelligently through a well-crafted newspaper editorial. How is Average Joe to know he's being manipulated? Secondly, conglomerated media can control what advertising gets shown. It becomes too easy for the big corporations to decide that a MoveOn.org or a National Right to Life ad is too controversial or too inappropriate, making it much harder for those voices to be heard. When single corporations control many media outlets in a single market, it may become impossible for some points of view to be heard. The more independent outlets there are, the more democratic the process becomes. Thirdly, this restrictive effect can be caused simply by economics, not censorship. The best time slots, billboard locations, and page placements may be reserved for advertisers who can afford national ad campaigns and cross-media campaigns. Smaller companies with smaller advertising budgets can get shut out. When media control is widely distributed, all deals are small, and small companies can compete on an even footing in as many markets or in as many media types as they can afford. And this applies not just to commercial advertising, but political advertising as well.
Thank you. Lee Colleton. Lee Colleton?
Yes.
257 Dick Lee, did you call?
I'm sorry?
257.
I'm sorry, are you Lee Colleton?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, I haven't called your name yet.
Gentlemen of the commission, I'm a technologist, as you yourselves are, and I think you all know from the research that your commission has, from the research that you have available, you know that further consolidation of media in this country will perhaps give short-term profit to the organizations that are allowed to consolidate that control, but will have a negative effect for our democracy as a whole. And I'm wondering what you guys are thinking. Like, is your interest to crash democracy in service of short-term profits of corporations? I'm guessing it is, which is really depressing. And something that I'd like to address to everyone, including the commission, is that we would be better served by increased access to the airwaves, not just in what stations we can tune into, but actual access, not the sort of access that I can, you know, pay an arm and a leg for on my cell phone, but genuine access to all parts of the spectrum. And I encourage you to open that access and allow projects like the free software GNU Radio, which would further this for everyone to be able to receive and transmit FM at low power. Like, you know, if there's a disaster, you'll be able to hear from your neighbors, the people down the street, as well as the companies that can kick it out at hundreds and hundreds of watts. And I think you have a responsibility to bring this sort of thing to us. I mean, we have the technology. Open the access, please.
Thank you. David Hollid. Jessica Klein. Jessica Bukowski. Bob Hasegawa. Joseph April. I'm on number two. I'm calling number 210 now. Christine Vigio Emery.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Christine Virgilio Emery. I'm also known as Ms. Music Girl, Zulu Nation member, and DJ. I am an active voter since I was 18, now 35, and a 7-year leukemia cancer survivor. I live in the city of Bremerton in Kitsap County, Washington, which is a ferry ride away from Seattle. You have rules, regulations, and guidelines in place for a reason. This country was built on capitalism and competition. There must be diversity in ownership so that we, as a diverse nation, will have the freedom to choose, and it is the FCC's job to keep these checks and balances in effect. Where I live, I barely get basic broadcasting channels unless I subscribe to cable that I have to pay for just to get the news, information, and programming I need and want. Soon, I will be forced into buying a high-definition TV because the TVs I have will soon be obsolete, and the TVs I have work just fine, even with the help of cable. I have absolutely no choice in who I want my cable provider to be with. What happened to freedom of choice? Also, with the cable channels, there are some Seattle-based channels, like ScanTV, that I want to watch, but I cannot receive them on my Bremerton-paid cable. Why am I not in the market when I am located just across the water? Speaking of programming, the news, which is usually full of dramatic sensationalism. If I want dramatic sensationalism, I could watch a movie or Jerry Springer. My needs are usually not being met because the major stations are in Seattle, and I rarely hear of anything related to where I live, depending on what it is, like the weather report, the ferry report, or something of a negative manner. I rarely hear of any positive news being reported anywhere. Why is that? News used to be on the newsreels, and now I could get it in an instant. But is it accurate? Programming of some of the sitcoms that are on now, in my opinion, the quality is just sour, from story content to language content. What happened to the guidelines? Radio is another problem. There are some stations that play the same songs over and over till they change the rotation. Boring, and the variety is just not there. And when a news station comes on, they plays variety, which usually ends up going off the air because somehow it is now competing with a major market station. Where's the diversity in radio programming and radio stations? Internet radio is not always an option either.
Thank
if the rules
much.
Are not broken, why
Please
change
thank
them?
You
Please
for your
do
comments.
What is right. Vote no on media consolidation.
Thank you.
There it is. Thank you.
Sandra Schulman. Sandra Schulman. Sue Peters. Larry Nielsen.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, fellow citizens. Thank you for hearing my testimony this evening. My name is Larry Nielsen. I work at the VA Medical Center here in Seattle, helping those who wear the uniform and those who have done so with their health care needs. Now, I've been around more than 50 years, and it's long enough to remember things like the Fairness Doctrine and the federal government vigorously enforcing civil rights and antitrust matters. Wow. Same country. Amazing. So nowadays we have 500 channels of identical dreck, Paris Hilton and Britney Spears, Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. Yep. And at the same time, we've seen a parallel decline in our nation's standing and our government's credibility. Dare I suggest that there is a connection. With increased consolidation, our political debate has been dumbed down, and diverse voices have been stilled. I think of Aaron Dixon, our Green Party senatorial candidate, who was banned from the TV candidates debate on the grounds that he hadn't raised $1 million. But it's on our patients' welfare I'd like to dwell for a minute. Day in and day out at the VA, we hear how American service members, our patients, are coming back from multiple tours in our ill-conceived and apparently endless war in Iraq. They're often minus an ear, an arm, a leg, or an eye. The shrinks tell us of widespread intractable symptoms of PTSD, depression, and uranium poisoning. These veterans and their families have had their lives ruined. Now, our soldiers knew they'd be in harm's way when they signed up, but it seems to me that they had a right to expect they would not be forfeited for frivolous purposes, but only as a last resort. Media consolidation made the war possible and put these people at risk for a bad and dubious purpose.
Thank you. Barbara Eyes. Will the following people come forward, please? Parker Lindner, Amber Morgan, Tim Tatton, Dwayne Polich, Cade Madlox, Andy Weiss, Cameron Cole, Clyde Wolbanks, Jeff Stonehill, Kimberly Roper, Andrea Nash, Parker Lindner.
Hello, do you guys need to stretch or something? One could say that allowing media consolidation is akin to allowing genetically engineered food to dominate our agriculture. While at first it seems like genetic engineering assures resilience and scalability of the crops, later we find that it also eliminates the diversity that enables those crops to thrive under a range of conditions and to propagate in new ways in response to changing conditions. So it is with our media. No matter where you sit in the public spectrum, you've likely found yourself sometimes wondering why you're seeing what you're seeing in the media and what has been left out of the discussion. Two examples of media stories that dominated the media when other important things were occurring in the world that come to my mind are Karen Quinlan and Janet Jackson's breast. While the national media obsessed on these stories, what important stories were not told? Today, our civilization is facing the greater demons, global climate change, the end of peak oil. Solutions to these problems are being generated in small acts, in communities of concern, and in personal behavioral changes. These are driven not by the ever-expanding media conglomerates, but by the network of voices that share ideas neighbor to neighbor, community to community. It's these natural systems that will be the salvation of our civilization and need air and nourishment to grow. Thank you.
Thank you. Amber Morgan.
Hi, my name is Amber Morgan. My partner and I started a free-form online community radio called Hollow Earth Radio, January 1st of this year. We started this online station because we were largely unimpressed with what we heard on our FM band. It has so little to do with our immediate lives. And creating a locally owned radio station, we can focus on showcasing the actual musicians and voices in our immediate vicinity. One supporter told us that listening to our radio feels like friends hanging out in her living room. It's comfortable and approachable. I don't know if anyone thinks that that would happen with Clear Channel. I don't think so. When we started broadcasting, we had no budget. The two of us did everything. Very quickly, we received overwhelming support from the community. Less than a year after we started, and with no budget for publicity, more than 40 volunteers run our station, and seven of which are still here tonight. And we have more listeners every day. The internet is a wonderful resource, but it is not a substitute for terrestrial broadcasts. We are a local community station, and we want to reach our local community. FM radio is the best way to do that. We feel it's almost impossible for a small group of people like us with no corporate backing to have access to the airwaves. I firmly believe that allowing consolidation of ownership would make it even harder for small, locally owned, and women-run businesses to gain access to the air. I am just one of the millions of people who plead to you. Please make it easier for citizens to gain access to these airwaves. Thank you.
Thank you. Tim Tadden.
Yes, please. Hi, my name is Tim Tadden. I've been a broadcast professional since 1974, and I've been paying attention to what's been going on and with the FCC. I think it's interesting that what does it tell you? That the people who are looking for further relaxation of ownership rules are not here. They're not listening to any of these people. They don't listen during the workday. They're not listening now. What is that telling you about what's coming on here? I might sound like kind of an old-time radio geek when I remind you about performance versus promise and those requirements the FCC always scared us with years ago that it could take away the license. You have a lot of power. You need to exercise it for the common good. That's what you're hearing from everybody here. I didn't come here to insult you guys. I didn't come here to lambast you. You've heard enough of that already. But I want you to recognize that there are some inconsistencies in the way the regulation is going as it currently stands. For instance, high-definition radio. All of these broadcasters who are looking for more frequencies and channels are already going to triple what they have with HD radio. So if somebody has eight signals in a market, 8 times 3. Why do they need more? What are they going to do with all of this? If they can't make a profit with a sufficient profit with what they've got, why don't you let somebody else use these frequencies? We talk about low-power FM, which may serve one suburb. Why not let some of these other community groups who don't need to make a large profit have a full-power station so they can reach all of the Native Americans, all of the other minority groups in a particular market? If the commercial guys aren't happy with what they've got and they've got way more than everybody else, there's a lot of other people who are looking for those opportunities. We're looking for you guys to step in and do something about that. There's too much to go into. Low-power FM is already on second adjacent channels in all major markets. It's called National Religious Broadcasters, who snuck in when everybody else is trying to get on the air. Let's be consistent with the rules and make sure everybody gets represented.
Thank you very much. Dwayne Pullage.
Good evening. It's 59 degrees outside with a little light rain. And now for tonight's news. Peru bombs USSR, world near end, film at 11. And now a word from our sponsor. I'm Dwayne Pullage with Combinate Media Group. The COM in Combinate stands for Community Oriented Media. I've helped start a small market AM daytime station and also owned a FM station over in Eastern Washington and have been involved in various allocation proceedings, which have ended up in the hands of the big broadcasters, Clear Channel and such. When I got into broadcasting, it was understood that broadcasters were expected to operate in the public interest, convenience, and necessity of the community. I like that. I believe in that. I want to be a broadcaster that does that. Now I'm looking for opportunities in low-power television stations. I want to be able to serve the community. I want to be able to talk about and to hear from the local government, local schools, local businesses, local churches, local community organizations, people that are involved in the local organization and are involved in the events and issues that affect your daily life. I just want to make sure that and encourage the commission that they provide an environment where community-oriented media and localism can thrive. And basically, you know, where do we go from operating in the public interest, convenience, necessity, to operating into the convenience and necessity of the public of the bottom line? Thank you.
Thank you. Cade Matlocks. Yeah, that's Andy Weiss. Cameron Cole. Clyde Mulbanks. Jeff Stonehill. Kimberly Roper. Andrea Nash. I'm going to call another list of names. Frank Brown, Haley Land, Rebecca Wolf, Jeff Bergler, Paul Worsing, Matt Burke, Nicole Robert, Olimara Peters, Maggie Metcalf, Robert Jackson, Brenda Cooper, Jeff Kemp, Shell Kaffin, or Kaffin, number 226, Frank Brown, Haley Land, Rebecca Wolf, please.
Oh, thank you. That light is just okay. Hi. This morning, Amy Goodman on her program, Democracy Now!, interviewed Denis Kucinich. And she asked him, she said, what control do you have? Okay, let me back up. Today in Seattle, there's going to be the last of the FCC hearings. As Kevin Martin, the chair, wants to expedite media consolidation, he says they'll be taking a vote around December 18th. What control do you have over this? And he answered, well, as the chairman of the Domestic Policy Subcommittee, I can and will hold hearings on the FCC's decision-making process. And then what I want to talk about most of all is my concern about how the mainstream media or the corporate media are choosing our candidates for the presidency. I think they're trying to decide who's going to be the next president, and I think that is so dangerous. And and the title of her program, Democracy Now!, really kind of implies that we do not have a democracy. We want a democracy. We haven't had a democracy for a very long time. And so in order to not have the media choosing our candidates for us, we have to get control over this. We, the people, have to get control over this. And Kucinich went on to say there is an attempt by the media to manage this election, to try to determine the outcome of the election prior to the people casting votes. It's just another way to try to defeat the public interest and to make of the election a kind of a farce. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff Bergler. Paul Worsing. Matt Burke. Nicole Robert. Olimara Peters, Maggie Metcalf, Robert Jackson, Brenda Cooper, Jeff Kemp,